1 second.
Well, good morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White, and we're so glad you could join us. Today, you will hear our daily declaration from one of Declare Victory's very own God Chasers, empowering, encouraging, imparting, and inspiring you to live your best life now. So grab a notebook and pen. It's sure to bless you. Please don't forget to submit your prayer request and praise reports on our app or website. We have scheduled calls 5 nights a week, Bible study, men's group, marriage matters, singles, divorce, and more. Check the app to find the call that's best for you. Don't forget to share the call information with a friend or loved one. It's sure to impact their life. We're not a church, just a bunch of radical believers that know that miracles happen when we pray. We hope you feel at home. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. You're now in the hands of your host for today.
Good morning, everyone. I'm your hostess for today, Valuable Valisita. Welcome to Declare Victory. We are happy to have you here with us, and we know you're going to be blessed. There are no new prayer requests from the application today. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture will be read by Jamila, declaration by Marcus, praying first is Barbara, praying second is Bernice. I'll repeat the order. Scripture will be read by Jamila, declaration by Marcus, praying first is Barbara, praying second is Bernice. Please do not forget to mute by pressing your standard mute feature. I now pass the call to Jamila.
This is Tanya. I think I'm supposed to bring the scripture, and I have John 14 in the 6th NIV version, and it says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. May God add a blessing to his word as I pass the call.
Amen. Thank you, sister, for the scripture. Appreciate it. God bless you all. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Good morning. Amen. Good morning. This is Marcus, and I'm settling in and ready to get into the declaration. Just want to remind you to please mute your line if you, if you haven't already. Take a moment and double check, triple check, and just make sure that your line is muted so you're not a distraction to anyone on the call. Well, yesterday we had a great weather, and I hope everyone was able to experience some kind of love, felt the love yesterday and in the air, not just because it was Valentine's Day, but because it was just magnetic. It was something different about yesterday's day for me. And I don't know if anyone else felt that, but it was great. Valentine's Day for me, and I'm not speaking on that, but I just wanted to make a comment about, which kind of brings us into what are we going to be talking about today. Valentine's Day is more than just a holiday. It's actually a day that we celebrate love, and we celebrate caring for others. And it's not just romantic. I repeat, it's not just romantic. I'm sure most of us know that, but just a reminder to keep it ever before you that it's not just romantic. You know, take some time to love on those others. I bought cards and gifts for my son and daughters. I bought, you know, cards and stuff for my mom, my grandma, and bought cards for the secretaries at school. One of them is a really good friend of mine, helped me through some stuff, so I loved on them as well, you know. So, all right, let's get into what we're going to talk about today. Last week we talked about a declaration. We spoke from a declaration that was entitled, Did You Hear That? And I talked more about hearing, and one of the interesting things that was shared when I was talking to you last week, was that a lot of times when you hear something, when you hear the voice of God, you actually hear it from what you see in your heart. And so I want to use that to go into what we talk about today. The title of declaration today is, What Do You See? What do you see? I read an article by Molly Blakely, that was called The Importance of Sight and Vision. And in this article, she began to talk about, how sight is important and how vision is important. There's a quote that says, "The eyes are the windows of the soul." And actually, there is a scripture that says in Matthew 6:22-24, "The eye is the lamp of the body. You draw light into your body through your eyes, and light shines out to the world through your eyes." So if your eye is well and shows you what is true, then your whole body will be filled with light. My God, I don't know if you're even paying attention to what was just said, but that's good stuff right there. I'm going to read it again because it just did something for me. I hope you hear it. The eye is the lamp of the body. Okay? The eye is the lamp of the body. You draw light into your body through your eyes, and light shines out to the world through your eyes. So if your eye is well, in good condition, or in good health, and shows you what is true, then your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is clouded or evil, then your body will be filled with evil and dark clouds. And the darkness that takes over the body of a child of God who has gone astray, that is the deepest, darkest darkness there is. When Jesus speaks of eyes and light, he means all people should keep their eyes on God because the eyes are the windows to the soul. Eyes should not focus on trash, filth, or expensive things. And this is what he means when he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The expression, the eyes are the windows of the soul, is often used to describe the deep connection one feels when looking to another's eyes. However, like windows, the eyes work both ways. They're not only important in seeing into another person's soul, but listen, they are also vital in how we view the world around us. Sight and vision are important because they allow us to connect with our surroundings, keep us safe, and help maintain the sharpness of our minds. Sight and vision are different entities. Sight is physical. It is a sensory experience in which light reflects off of shapes and objects, and the eyes then focus this light. Signals are sent to the brain to be converted into images. Vision is how the mind and aspect of the brain interprets these images. Vision is a metaphysical concept. Sight may allow a person to witness an event, but vision helps the person understand the significance of that event and draw interpretations. The two are harmonious and are very important in our everyday lives. Sight and vision help to connect people with their surroundings. Our world is filled with an extreme variety of colors, shapes, and patterns. Sight gives us the ability to perceive movement, and vision gives us the ability to make assessments about that movement. For example, you see a dog catch a frisbee in the park. He brings the frisbee back to his owner, and the owner gives the dog a pat on the head. Your vision tells you that this dog and this owner have a loving relationship and that the dog enjoys playing in the park. But let's say that that same dog and that same owner are in the same park, and the owner throws the frisbee and the dog runs the other direction and goes after something completely different, and the owner runs after the dog, you would assume that from the way it looks, your interpretation, your vision would tell you that that dog is out of control. Park that right there. We'll come back to it. Sight and vision are important because they bring beauty and understanding of the world to us. They also keep us safe. The two concepts work together to provide awareness of the dangers around us. A person who can see a car coming knows to stay on the sidewalk so that he or she will not be hit and ultimately injured. In fact, sight is arguably the most important sense for safety and self-preservation. Protecting your eyes and your sight is highly important so that you may avoid harm. Finally, sight and vision keep our minds sharp and alert. It is important to maintain your eyesight so that you may continue to connect with the world and make quick assessments of whatever situation comes your way. Frequent stimulation of the mind and philosophical interpretation of one's sense of vision helps with overall health and intelligence. So a young man was walking across campus at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he saw a blind man making his way across a courtyard. The blind man was using a walking stick with confidence, and the young man stood for a moment and watched the blind man walk, just amazed at the resiliency of the human mind. Here, this blind guy had basically memorized the layout of the campus, and he walks where he needs to go without seeing a thing. The young man turned to enter a building, and when it dawned on him that the blind man was headed for a corner of the campus where the young man knew there was a new construction site, the young man turned around and wondered if the blind guy knew it was there. A few more moments showed that the blind man did not. This young man ran across the courtyard just as the blind guy walked into one of those plastic orange fences that surround these kind of projects. It was obvious the blind guy was confused. The young man explained what was going on, and the blind guy asked the young man to walk him back to the courtyard. The blind guy couldn't get to where he was going from there. When the young man asked him where he was going, he said that he intended to walk down the block to the corner. The young man took a quick look down the block and suggested to walk him to where he needed to go because there was a bucket loader parked in the middle of the sidewalk working on some power lines. The blind guy's little walk to the corner would have ended in disaster. As the young man walked with him, he couldn't help praising God for his eyes. How many of us have walked into something blindly and didn't have someone to guide us? We memorized our path. We memorized a certain journey. We memorized them. We thought we knew how things would go, and what we didn't realize that something had changed in that same journey that we took before, that it wasn't the same journey that we thought we took, and now we needed somebody to guide us. Listen, I don't care how old you are, or I don't care how much you think you know. Sometimes the path that you have taken before, there is a change. There is a change in, there's some construction going on down that path somewhere that you thought was the same path. Now it's different because God is doing something different. And unless you get a guide, unless you have somebody that can guide you down that path, you're going to end up in a world of destruction. Let me keep moving before I get too ahead of myself. And these two little balls of fluid nestled into sockets in my head mean the world to me. I imagine if I said that sight is probably the most important sense we have, you all would agree. I think I would rather lose a finger than lose my eyes. These eyeballs are a wonder of engineering. So you think your digital camera is complex? Think for a moment about all the parts of your eye. Start with the sclera, the outer part of your eye that holds this little ball of jelly together, or the cornea, the transparent front of your eye that lets light in, or the iris, the adjustable part of your eye that controls the amount of light that actually gets into your eye, or the retina, the projection screen of your eye that receives the light, or the optic nerve that carries the light signals to your brain, which is actually the seeing organ. Let's stop here because the brain is unbelievably complex. The actual process by which you look at an object and see is an astounding process that involves light waves, chemicals, reactions, electrical impulses that all work together with split-second precision. Take a look at the room around you and notice the colors. Notice the seamless way you perceive depth. Think about how your eye reacts to light, how it focuses almost instantaneously. It is simply unbelievable what God has made. If you are ever at a loss for things to praise God for, stop and think about your eyes. If that's not enough to make you cry out in thanksgiving, you must be, well, blind. So what does it mean to walk by faith, not by sight? 2 Corinthians 5 and 6 through 7 says, we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Other versions use the word live rather than walk. The walk here is a metaphorical reference to the way a person conducts his or her life. We still use the phrase all walks of life to mean a variety of lifestyles or cultures. The Apostle Paul reminds his readers that followers of Christ must not build their lives around things that have no eternal significance. Rather than pursuing the same things the world pursues, a Christian should focus on the unseen realities such as Jesus and heaven. Paul goes on to say, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil, 2 Corinthians 5 and 9 through 10. Jesus instructed us to store up treasure in heaven, Matthew 6 and 19 through 20, Luke 12 and 33. He promised rewards to everyone who does his will, Matthew 16, 27, 1 Peter 1, 17, and Revelation 22 and 12, and punishment for those who reject him, Matthew 25 and 24 through 46, and John 3 and 16 through 18. Walking by faith means living life in light of eternal consequences. To walk by faith is to fear God more than man. To obey the Bible, even when it conflicts with man's commands, to choose righteousness over sin, no matter what the cost, to trust God in every circumstance, and to believe God rewards those who seek him, regardless of who says otherwise, Hebrews 11 and 6. Rather than loving the things of this world, 1 John 2 and 15 through 16, Christians spend their lives glorifying God in everything they do, 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. It requires faith to live this way because we cannot see, hear, or touch anything spiritual. When we base our lives on the truth of God's word rather than on the popular philosophy of our day, we are going against our natural inclinations. Our natural instincts may be to hoard money, but walking by faith says we should give to those in need. Society may say that sexual immorality is acceptable, but those who walk by faith base their standards on the unchangeable nature of God's word, which says any sex outside of marriage is sin. To walk by faith requires that we tune our hearts to the voice of the Holy Spirit and the truth of his word. We choose to live according to what God reveals to us rather than trust our own understanding, Proverbs 3 and 5 through 6. Now let's touch on vision, and then I'm going to be done. P.K. Barnard said, a man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always return to his past. One famous proverb says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Vision is the bridge between the present and the future. Without it, we perish or go unrestrained, as the New American Standard Bible puts it. Vision gives pain a purpose. Those without vision spend their lives taking the path of least resistance as they try to avoid discomfort. The level of sacrifice that a vision requires, check this out, will determine the size of people who follow. Sacrifice separates the small from the great, and that is exactly what is happening in our country. People have no vision, so they're out of control. They're living wildly. Consider the example of a young man who has just graduated from high school and joins the military. As soon as he steps off the boot camp bus, the sergeant starts yelling at him. He has to march over to the barbershop and get his head shaved. Then he's up early in the morning to exercise with someone screaming at him and talking about his mother. Just a month before, he was in high school. He would have never put up with any of this nonsense from his teachers or his classmates. But somehow his whole mindset has changed. Why? He is enduring the cross, so to speak, because of the joy on the other side of it. He realizes that boot camp is preparing him for a greater destiny. His vision of the future is giving his present physical discomfort meaning and purpose. So many of us go through life not understanding the purposes of our trials. We spend our days walking a crooked path, believing that every obstacle in the road is a problem and something to be avoided, which is why we have people jumping out of marriages, jumping out of relationships, jumping out of churches, jumping out of jobs, because we can't stand the discomfort and the unease. We're changing our path so quickly because things are not going the way we want them to go, or people are not talking to us the way we want them to talk to us. But why live so out of control? Why just jump out of things just because it's a little uncomfortable? See the reward down the road. Now, I'm not saying that we should just stick with a knucklehead or be at a dead-end job just because we believe that God is going to do something greater. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not suggesting that you stay somewhere that is completely destroying and damning to the person you are. I am saying, however, that a lot of times we get thrown off the wagon because of a little bit of discomfort, because of some problems. Listen, nothing worth keeping, nothing that is great is going to be attained or is going to be maintained without a little bit of challenge, without some kind of issues or problems. You're going to have struggles in almost everything you experience. But the question is this struggle okay? Can you endure this? And is it worth holding on to enough for you to get to the victory, to get to where God is taking you? The second part of this proverb says, but happy is he who keeps the law. The law isn't just something God gave to Moses. It is also the restraint, boundaries, and disciplines we developed around our life to direct us through, get this, through obstacles instead of around them. These obstacles become baptisms of fire that forge our character so we can attain and maintain a life of greatness. What are you saying, Marcus? In other words, instead of us trying to go around the obstacle or around the problem or around the situation, perhaps God wants to direct us through the obstacle, through the problem, and through the challenge. Don't be thrown off by what you see, because oftentimes what you see is not what you see. No, I didn't hiccup. I'm going to say it again. Oftentimes what you see is not what you see. Vision is what we see, but it is also the way in which we see. Vision is the lens that interprets the events of our life, the way we view people and our concept of God. Check this out. If we have a scratch on our glasses, it may seem like everybody around us has scratches too. But the problem actually lies with us, because our vision is impaired. Jesus said that our eyes are the windows of our heart. Paul prayed that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. In other words, we perceive with our eyes, but we see with our heart. Our minds receive images from our eyes, but our heart interprets these images. If our heart becomes bitter, jealous, hurt, or in some way infected, the lens of our heart is distorted. What we perceive is happening and what is really going on could be two completely different things. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." John 8:32. The word truth used here is not referring to the Bible itself, although all truth is rooted in the Bible, but here the word truth means reality. So Jesus is saying you will understand what is real, and that will free you. So many of us live in a virtual reality. The way we view life can feel and look real or make perfect sense, but still not be real at all. Have you ever watched a good movie and gotten totally into it? You experience all the emotions of real life. You may even leave the theater still feeling the movie, but it was just a movie. It was never real. The truth is, we see what we believe to be true. Another way to put it is, if you have the wrong pretext, you will misunderstand the context. Having a revelation of what is real will deliver us from a life of torment that virtual reality often causes. So in other words, you look at a person and you're unable to get in a relationship with them, or you perceive in your heart already that you have a problem from a previous relationship. And so as a result of that, the next person has to pay the price because of what's in your heart, not necessarily because that person has a problem. And they may even say some things that kind of remind you of where you were, but it doesn't mean that that person is who the other person you were dealing with. Same thing with a job. You may go on a job and assume that because you were mishandled or you were treated a certain way on a certain job, and then you go to the next job and you assume that because of your previous experience, this job is the same, and which is why we never get settled in anything, because we're so busy assuming that everybody and everything is out to get us. Listen, people of God, understand that a lot of times the things that we have going on with our eyes, it's really something going on in our heart, and what we need to do is check our core values. Check. Therefore, the things we believe to be true determine the way in which we interpret life. These things are called core values. Core values are the lens of our eyes, of our heart. Core values are the lens or eyes of our heart. It is important for us to realize the incongruence between what our heart values presently are and what we really want them to be. Often the things we say we believe and the things we actually believe are not the same. We must understand that it's not the truth that we believe in our head that are our core values, but rather the ones we believe in our heart. The things we perceive to be true determine the way we respond to the world around us and to God who lives within us. And so I leave you with this, people of God. I encourage you today that before you make a judgment, before you make an assessment about a situation or a person or a place, make sure you check your core values. Make sure you check your heart, because what do you see? What you see is often determined by what's going on in your own heart. I pray that this has blessed you. I pray that you got something from it. I pray that you are able to think on it and that it applies to something in your life. It blessed me, and I pray that God blesses you as I pass the call to the next person.
My Lord, my Lord. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord. First of all, thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning and allowing us to see another day, Lord. Lord, thank you for being on this line with us, Lord. Lord, I just praise you for how awesome and just how wonderful you are and how you touch Marcus to explain about sight, Lord Jesus. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Lord, I just ask that you would forgive me of any sins I've committed by thought, word, or deed so that you might hear me this morning, Lord. Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, Lord. Cast me not away from your presence, O God, and take not your Holy Spirit away from me, Lord. Lord, I come to you this morning thanking you, Lord, for those prayer requests that were spoken, Lord Jesus, and those that were unspoken. Lord, I lift up Moni and 4-year-old Georgie, Lord, who was in an accident yesterday and broke his arm and his leg and had a head injury. And last night he had to have surgery, Lord. I lift that family up to you, Father, asking you to give them comfort, Lord. Strengthen that family, Lord Jesus, for they're devastated about this 4-year-old young man, Lord. I just ask you to be with them in a special way, Lord. Bless them as never before, Lord Jesus. If they don't know you, Lord, let them ask what they can do to know you better, Lord, to realize that you are a healing God. And you don't make no mistakes, Lord. Lord, I lift up the Ingram, the Jones, and the Prevost family to you, Lord, as they lay their mother to rest today, Lord. Give that family strength, Lord, and help them to realize that mother's gone, but they're still here, and they need you in their lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift up Gail to you, Lord, asking you to touch her lungs, Lord Jesus. Put your healing hand on them, Lord. I lift up the Calhoun family for Miss D, Lord. Asking you to comfort that family, Lord, as never before. I lift up Nicole Watson and Deshaun, who's lost their son, Lord Jesus. I lift up all those that are in bereavement right now, Lord. Asking you, Father, to touch as never before, Lord Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, where two or three of us are gathered, you're in our midst, and I know you hear with us this morning, Lord. Lord, I lift up Gwen this morning, Lord, as she's going for a meeting with HR, Lord. You be in the midst of that meeting, Lord. Go before her, Lord Jesus. Prepare their minds, Lord. You know the situation, Lord, and I just ask you to continue to be in control, Lord. I lift up the Kelly family that have lost a family member, Lord. I just ask you to touch as only you can touch, Lord. Lord, I lift Marcus up to you as he has truly expounded on sight and vision, Lord. Put back into him what he's put out to us this morning, Lord, and help us to understand about our vision and our sight, Lord Jesus. Help us to check our hearts, Lord. Check our core values, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask that I lift up the DV family to you, Lord, thanking you for their needs and their health and their jobs and their finances and for protection for them, Lord. I lift up Dion and her children to you, Lord, thanking you for her, Lord, and Tanya and Tarina and Valicita and just everyone on this call I lift up to you, Lord, thanking you for what you're doing in their lives, Lord Jesus, for it's making such a difference in everyone's life, Lord Jesus, helping us to better know and understand how you want us to live, Lord. Lord, I lift up the marriages on this call to you, Father, asking you to continue to bind those marriages together as never before, Lord Jesus. I lift up those that are single preparing for marriage, Lord. And those that are single that are not preparing for marriage, but they're just trying to live life in this world, Lord Jesus. I lift them up to you, Lord, thanking you for what I know that you're doing, Lord. I lift up all those in our families that are saved and those unsaved ones, Lord. Allow our lives to shine so they want what we have, Lord, because they see you and us. I lift up our children to you, Lord, and our young people, Lord. Touch their minds and their hearts and help them to know that they need you in this world, Lord. They can't make it in this world without you, Lord Jesus. I lift up our co-workers to you, Lord, thanking you how we touch each other and we make a difference in each other's lives, Lord Jesus. I lift our neighbors and our friends and our enemies up to you right now, Lord. Thank you, Father, for how I'm so glad you're in control of everything that goes on in this world, Lord Jesus. Sometimes it might not look like it, but I know that you're in control, and I'm so glad that you're in control because things that don't look right to us, you got a plan for that. We don't know all the plans you have for us, but you know the plans that you have for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just lift up everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord. Those that had spoken prayer requests and those that have something on their heart, but they didn't say anything, Lord. But you know what they have on their heart, Lord Jesus. And I just ask you to touch as only you can touch. Heal as only you can heal, Lord. Forgive as only you can forgive, Lord. Love as only you can love, Lord. Continue to show us your way, Lord. Continue to show us how you want us to be, Lord, and what you want us to do and say, Lord. Lord Jesus, we need you right now, Father. None of us can make it in this world without you. Lord, I just thank you for Marcus's declaration this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just ask these things as I pass the call in Jesus' name.
Father, in the name of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, once again, we come to establish our legal right, and we take dominion and declare victory. Spirit of the living God, thank you for keeping us in perfect peace as we keep our minds on you. Your peace we receive. We declare victory as we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, humbled and acknowledging that you are with us, that your presence surrounds us. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Now think through me and speak for me. I pray for the anointing that comes with this assignment of intercessory prayer. We thank you, Father, that for what you will do and how you will confirm your word with signs and wonders as you always have. We declare victory for our cities, our states, our government, and this nation. Father, we come to you praying for the leaders that we have throughout the cities, the states, the government, and the nation, O God. Create in them a clean heart. Renew a right spirit that is within them. Save those who are not yet your own. Give those in authority wisdom in every decision and help them to think clearly, O God. Give them a mind that you would give and only the mind that only you can give. Grant them discernment and common sense so they'll be strong and effective leaders. Help them to lead and govern with integrity, and may their integrity guide them and keep them on track for your people, O God. Be merciful to give us leaders, maybe new leaders, who are spirit-filled and follow your principles. Direct their steps according to your word, for the decisions that they have a great impact on our lives. Be the lamp to their feet and a light to their path. Direct their footsteps according to your word and let no sin rule over them that will spill over upon us, O God. Be the defender and protector for them and keep them always on guard. Give them vision and insight. Help those who are Christians to be strong and courageous, standing firm in their faith and influencing others for your kingdom. Encourage and strengthen them, giving them the wisdom that they need. Help them to have courage and faith in you no matter what they're facing day to day. In the name of Jesus, we declare victory for our military troops and you as veterans. God of love and God of peace, out of the depths of despair, we call on you. Our ears ring with the words, "Do not fear." But our stomachs churn sometimes with the acid of doubt. Determined to preserve our shared world from the tyranny of terrorism, we turn to you for answers, for values, and for strength. Heavenly Father, matchless in all your ways, lend our military, our U.S. troops, and veterans your strength, God, and fortify their spirit during the time. Comfort their hearts and the hearts of their families, and give them grace to withstand in the midst of it all because of your grace. It is sufficient for them. I just thank you that we, Father, can stand before you with respect and concern that for these people who have given their lives over for us and those who were summoned to protect and secure our nation. Give them courage to stand up against the unexpected. Return them home safely and with a sound mind to fulfill dreams unrealized so that they may bless your name through the lives that they live. May their efforts further the cause of peace throughout the world and bring us closer to the day when nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn of war anymore. We declare victory for our churches and our pastors. We give thanks to you, Christ Jesus, who has given us the strength We thank you for all things that are working together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose in Christ Jesus. Thank you, O Father, for giving us the faith to carry out the work necessary to bring those who are unable to hear your word, those who are held captive and need to be set free, and to those who are blind to the spiritual things of God. You, Father, Father of mercy and grace, forgive us our sins and forgive us, your church, for not being the stewards we're supposed to be. You have given to us instructions that are clear to the church leaders, and we have not always obeyed them. When we have witnessed false teachings, false preaching, we have not defended the gospel openly so that those who are babies in the gospel are not deceived. Father, help us. Help us to be those people, those warriors, those soldiers, to go before the people and let us be able to correct the errors. Precious Lord, we have not made our personal lives attractive to the unbeliever. Help us, O Lord, strengthen us, guide us, show us what it is that needs to be done. Allow that light to enter in. Church leaders are not leading in true worship, neither is priority given to prayer. We need prayer, Father. Worship is being made fun of by those people who are not members of the body of Christ, and the world seems to no longer be affected by the written word, nor is the church in a place of respect. But we thank you that you're going to change that, that you are changing that. No longer are the lives of many pastors and deacons and ministers and other leaders exemplary, but no fault of their own, for we know not what we do. No longer does the nature of the message of the church demand high standards and qualifications. Qualify us, O Father, in the name of Jesus. Help us here to be who you have called us to be. Help us to take action. Give us insight. As your word has required, we have been unable to cultivate healthy relationships with different age groups in the church. Bring those people together, O Father, who have that insight, who know exactly what to do, and place them in position. We have not supported the widows in our congregations. We have not adequately supported our ministers. Father, place people in position who can do that. Show us how to rebuild the church, your church, how to think with godly wisdom and demand higher qualities. We thank you for that. We need an impartation of divine love, which comes with a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith, and confirm it, Spirit of the living God, through your pastors. Help us to no longer wander away from these and turn again to meaningless talk. Help us to go forth in your word and speak truth to those people who don't know you well. Help us to be examples, and help us to come into compliance so that we may be in your timing. Show us your posture. Show us our true purpose and relevance. Make that light shine before the people, O God. Show us how to accomplish what you have called the church to be, and thank you for helping us to walk out your purpose to correct those things that need correction. But I thank you, O Father, for those people, O Father, who stand in the way of righteousness, who stand for righteousness. For these are people that you've lifted a standard, and we thank you that we, your church and your pastors who are called to the body of Christ, I thank you for them. I thank you that you have given us dominion and power over principalities. Reveal now in the name of Jesus. Show us our direction, how we go into the world and to preach the gospel, getting the people to come to the door. And when they come to the door, your pastors will welcome them in. We rejoice together and we declare victory. We hear you, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Our feet are standing in your gate of praise, hallelujah, as we worship you, Father in heaven. Thank you for rebuilding your church, making it like a city that is closely compacted together, where we praise you, Lord. Thank you for being our protector, hiding us under the shadow of you, the Almighty. We rejoice together, Father, and we declare victory. We have come into your house, O Father. Our feet are standing at your gate of praise as we worship you, Father. We thank you that you are rebuilding us. We thank you, O Father, in the name of Jesus. Peace be within our hearts. Love, show your love, O Father God. We ask that you love us like we love them, that those people that we need to bring in. We thank you, O Father, for giving us sight and vision, and we pray that we not lose it, the light that comes in so that the light goes out. Thank you for the eyes of our heart being enlightened. We thank you for reality, for seeing what is real. Father, we thank you that you have given us godly core values. And for you who live within us, thank you for creating in us a clean heart, O Father. As we take our phones off mute, join me in corporate prayer. And we thank you, Father, because of who you are. We thank you, Father, because of the faith that you are giving
to your name, Father God.
Father, we thank you.
Glory to you. Be glorified this morning, Father God. In Jesus' name.
We thank you that
my God, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him. Thank you for him dying on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice that you made for us, Father God. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we welcome you. We know that you are alive and you walk this earth, and we thank you right now, Father God. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, that Jesus is with us, God, that we can call on Jesus. Thank you, wonderful Jesus. Thank you, my Jesus. My Jesus. I ask you right now to bring healing as you walk this earth, Jesus. Bring healing, spread healing on everybody. Spread healing like never before. I pray healing rain would come down right now from heaven. I pray healing would pour out into others because of us, God, coming to you on behalf of healing right now in Jesus' name. I just pray for healing for our loved ones. I pray for healing for our neighbors. I pray for healing for our enemies. I pray for healing for our relatives, healing for distant cousins, healing for friends that think about us that we can't see, and friends that we think about that we can't talk to, Father God. I pray right now for healing. Use your healing power to overtake this whole nation. Healing power, Father God. Healing power would be about everyone on the call today. The healing would come, Father God, so that we would be washed and clean and be able to hear from you, Father God, today. Have your way and speak to us, God. And before doing that, God, bring healing, God, healing that only you can bring, Father God. That only the healing that comes directly from your throne, Father God. Let us be healed, Father God, so that we can in turn go and that we could hear you and do your work and be your hands and your feet, Father God, in Jesus' name. I pray for healing, for ultimate and complete healing for every single ear on this voice, every single member that's on the call today, Father God. I pray for healing like never before, God. Heal all wounds that we even forgot about, God. Wounds that are already, that are in there hidden, Father God. Only you can do it, Father God. In Jesus' name, I pray right now for healing for our household, Father God. For everybody in the household that might be holding on to something that is ailing them, that is hurting them, Father God. Let them have the healing that only you bring today, Father God. Let it be so, Father God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to you, Father God. Hallelujah to you, because we know that you're bringing your healing, that your healing rain is flowing now. But as we open up our mouth, Father God, today, as we hear and listen on call today, God, that you're healing is going to come about us, Father God. And we're going to be healed from all ailments, all bondage, all the chains that the enemy has placed upon us. Those chains are going to be broken today,
And we're going to be here today, and we're going to be okay, and we're going to be taken from glory to glory right now in Jesus' name. We're not going to have the chains on us. We're not going to be bound anymore. We're not going to be failing. We're going to be healed in Jesus' name. And I claim and declare that every single one of us on this call would be healed, Father God, by the hand of God in Jesus' name. We're healed right now. We will be moved. We will be able to move forward. We'll be able to walk. We won't be prevented anymore in Jesus' name. God, we're going to be able to spread that healing today. We are going to spread that healing today because every single crevice within us is going to be healed from the ailments that we have had, that the enemy has had against us, the bonds that he has had us in. We're going to be healed from it today in Jesus' name, and I declare and I speak it and I prophesy it on each and every member of this call right now. We're all going to be healed from our ailments right now. That which has tied us down, that which has lied to us, that which has held us in chains is going to be broken today, and we're going to be released to walk in the freedom that you have called us to walk in Jesus' name. And I declare it right now that we're going to be free. We're going to be free. We're not going to be tied down or ailed today in any which way, shape, or form, and no weapon formed against us is going to prosper, and nobody's going to hurt us at all. We're going to walk in victory today. We're going to walk proud, and we're going to walk strong, and it doesn't matter if we make mistakes. God, you've forgiven us, and you've allowed us to walk in freedom and victory, and that's how we're going to walk today in Jesus' name. We're going to stand firm, and we are your soldiers, and we are going to walk in victory today. Nobody's going to hurt us. Nobody's going to break us down because we carry the Holy Spirit with us. We carry the Holy Spirit with us. He's all over us, and he is going to work in and through us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God, that you stand on your word this morning. Hallelujah. We glorify you, God. Thank you because you're good to us, God. Thank you because you healed some of us mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Jesus, the wonderful name.
We give you an
name. The wonderful name.
Hallelujah. We give you name praise for sight.
Thank you, Jesus.
We give you name praise for vision.
Thank you, Jesus, that you did walk this earth. And thank you, Jesus, that you did point to us. And thank you, Jesus, that you did call us to be your disciples.
Your name is holy. Your name is worthy.
You physically walked this earth, and you pointed and picked out each and every one of us, and I thank you for that,
God.
Thank you for having a higher calling on our life.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for making us your chosen generation, your chosen people. And I thank you, Father God. It is well with us.
Thank you, Lord.
Well with us, Father God. Hallelujah to your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
God.
Thank you for touching us, seeing us. Thank you for loving us, Father God.
Be glorified.
Be here one more day. Thank you.
Let this be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear today, Father God. Have your way in and through us, God.
In
Jesus' name, Jesus, the name above all names.
You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are our Creator, our Provider, our Healer, our Redeemer, our Judge, our Defender. You are holy. You are righteous. You are Father, Lord of everything. You are our shelter, our Savior and our Sustainer. And because of this, oh Father, we love you and we thank you with everything that is within us. In Jesus' mighty name,
thank you.
Hello and welcome again to Declare Victory. My name is JC. I am your hostess. I hope you have been blessed by the call. Were there any first-time visitors that did not get to say hello and would like to do so now? Okay, is there anyone that joined the call a little late and did not get to say hello and would like to do so now?
Morning, fam. It's Bubbly.
Hey,
Happy Wednesday.
Bubbly, good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Good morning,
it's Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Hey, Tracy.
Good morning, Beverly.
Good morning, Fab.
Good morning, Beverly. And who else was that?
Good morning, family. Sister Julia, God bless y'all this morning.
Sister Julia, God bless you as well.
Yo, family.
Morning. It's Dee Dee and Brother Eric. I got you, bro. I got you.
Yo. Hey, Brother E. Hey, Dee Dee. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Cheryl.
Good morning, Cheryl. Anyone else? All righty,
then. Good morning, Zanijay.
Good morning, Zanijay. How are you?
I'm good.
Great. Well, we hope that you can join us for the next segment of the call, which is the Love, Life, and Victory discussion. I thank you for allowing me to be your hostess. I will now pass the call to Brother Marcus. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Hey, y'all.
Good
morning, everyone, again. No. You go ahead, but I do want to get it started. I want to say one thing as it's just kind of my God. So after I finished speaking, I mean, I had to break off in a, oh, Jesus, God, thank you, God. Oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
After I finished sharing, God really touched my heart so much about that word. And one thing I started hearing, and it started really making sense, is that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord.
Yep.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Do y'all understand the value in that? Just that line. I need to see you. Now here's the thing. Oftentimes when we look at situations, we look at people, we see the mess, or we see issues, or we see things. But how many times do we look at people and we see God? We look for God, look for God in stuff, look for God in people. Even how messed up people may be, there's God in there somewhere. Because God is everywhere. If we believe that God is everywhere at the same time, if he's omnipresent, then he's omnipresent even when there's a mess. That I just wanted to, oh, my God, that stirred me so. So.
Marcus, that was awesome. I mean, it was really, really touching. I missed the very first scripture you gave about your eyes. You gave a lot of scriptures, but that very first one you gave, that you said the eyes are the window to the soul, and then you gave a scripture.
Matthew 6:22-24, I believe it is.
Oh, 22-24.
I think. Let me just double check that. Let me check and make sure.
Okay. And when you were talking about vision, you said man without a vision is a man without a future. And then you said man without a future returns to what?
So here it is. Let's see. Give it to you right now. Okay, so that scripture is Matthew 6:24. 26. And so man without a, it's a quote by T.K. Bernard. It says, a man without a vision is a man without a future, and a man without a future will always return to his past.
Oh, okay. Past, okay.
Past, P-A-S-T.
Past, okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Marcus. That was awesome. The only thing I have to say, and don't laugh, you was quoting off scriptures so fast I couldn't write them all down. This was good for me. And I also like when you said, check our core values. That's the lens of our heart. God, that was awesome. Thank you.
Bless you.
Hey, good morning, brother.
Dee Dee, yeah, go
my
ahead.
My God, I'm trying to get it in before my little client wake up. She's on regular milk, so Jesus, y'all pray for me. My goodness, blurred vision. As I'm listening to you, man, it's so much like you. I had to go in the garage and get my little praise on and thanking God for how he's clearing up my vision. I'm going to paraphrase because I got what you said as far as being thankful. Some people it's not that, I'm going to see how you said it. If you can't be thankful for your vision, you must be blind. I know you said something like that, and that's me. When I wake up every morning and I can see, I'd rather lose all four of my limbs, and I'm being honest, instead of my vision. If I had a choice, Lord, let me keep my vision so that I can see. I just love you so much. Lately, it's just been a lot on my heart because I hear so many saints and they tear people down because of what they think they see. So when you said, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, see people how we're not God, so we can't see the contents, and we don't know what God is doing with any of us. But I look at how if he delivered my little raggedy tail, why can't he deliver that sister that may not look like she's saved? And what does that look like? I get tired of hearing that somebody don't look saved. I just heard somebody recently say that people lose, she looked like she lost her salvation. Really? Can you go please have a seat? Instead of talking about people that look like they doing something, pray for them. Even if we think someone is off course, instead of throwing rocks or telling them they ain't saved, do what it says in the Word. Pray. Restore them back to God, because that's what we have to do. We're losing so many. This week has been so hard with folks dying in pain, and I said, why can't we just love on each other instead of tearing them down? And it's so perfect how you said check our core values. Because no matter what we may think we see, all a person's ways may seem pure to them, but the motives are weighed by the Lord. We aren't God. If we see somebody out of, pray for them. You see me, if y'all see me about to run into the wall, because I know I still don't have it all together. I do things, I say things I shouldn't say, I wear stuff I shouldn't wear. Oh, well, you cannot take away my praise because God gave me my praise. I know I'm probably rambling like my sisters tell me, but I don't want to be irritated with saints no more because of what they sit back and throw rocks at people who don't look. What does it look like? How does it look? So, Marcus, this is so big. It really is. I love you, brother. You gave the scriptures for it. And it's just a good reminder of how we need to see and have God help us look at people differently. So it's like, what do you think you see when you look at me? You don't know. Even, I'm going to say this, the award show the other night, I think Chance the Rapper, so many people talking about he don't know Jesus. How do you know? You don't know who knows Jesus, and sometimes we don't act or look like we do. But we have to be mindful because we can't see the hearts of man. God is God. And I guarantee each and every one of us on this line, somebody sitting back watching and judging us and giving us the merits with some of our actions and the things we say and the way we act sometimes. So we have to just take it back and give it to God and ask him to help us see with his eyes. I love you. Thank you, brother. That was good.
Man, thank you. Amen. Blessed by what you had to say. And I just want to repeat this as I hand it off to Dion. I'll still be on the call, but I just want to share this again. Moni asked me to repeat it again. So the quote is by P.K. Bernard. It says, a man without a vision is a man without a future, and a man without a future will always return to his past. Got that? So... And another thing about that, what you said with Chance the Rapper, is that we don't know. There are millions of souls that were touched by what he shared. There were people talking about Jesus. One of the teachers came up to me yesterday and said, "Did you hear how powerful he was yesterday?" And he was. I didn't know he was so full of God. Now, this is a person who doesn't believe in God, but she was touched by his performance as well. And then there's an article today, and the thing that they pointed out was his performance of how great is our God. So, yeah, we don't know what God is doing and through who he's doing it. So I'm going to shut up now. Dion, go ahead, sister, because I can keep going.
Honey, and I was just going to let you keep going because... I wanted to throw my shoe at you, and it wouldn't have never hit nothing but my computer or my telephone. Because it is probably the most amazing thing to see the eyes of your heart be open. You know, the level of growth that we get to see in transition from glory to glory with so many people, not just you, but this morning's teaching was so full of depth, and I think that if we just stop. I remember what Pastor Coleman taught about four belief systems. But if we just talked about the core value systems, and I'll give an example. During my engagement, it helped me define my core value systems, the things that make me me, and the things that are non-negotiable in my heart. And, of course, that's family, friends, service, community, but God first. And I found my core values in the middle of adversity. So it's really good. I sat and I wrote them down because what I had to do is say, am I willing to compromise my core value system for a position or a title? And the reality is no. The core of my being requires certain things. And so it's a wonderful, we could talk about that for the next 5 days. If we talked about our core value and or core belief system and what makes you uniquely you, I think that every person should take the time to identify and have it written down and know it, because it'll help in so many areas. It'll help when you are faced with making a challenging decision. I got an email yesterday. You guys know I'm supposed to start work on Tuesday. And so they sent me my schedule, and it had two Sundays from 10 to 4 on my schedule. I immediately emailed HR and shared. Now, this was a discussion in my intake interview, and I was assured that this would not be an issue. And if I'm going to have to work on Sundays, I'm going to decline the position. And I did that because I have to. I got to live. I got to live. I'm not working on those Sundays. You figure it out. And I told you that, and you told me it was cool. Now, if that had told me, no, you got to work on Sundays, then I would have been able to make a decision based on that as a reality. But don't tell me that I have to compromise what I need to live. I need fellowship to live. I need it. Anybody else got anything?
Yeah, yeah. Yo, son, that was some really some next level
right.
word that you was. No, first of all, I want to say to my little sis, really, you supposed to start work on Tuesday, really, really.
Yes, really.
Really, okay. But listen, I want to encourage you, DR. I stood on principle. The job I had now. And I think I said this testimony. I wasn't going to work on, I wasn't going to work on Friday nights. I wasn't going to work from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And the head boss of our job said that my face, I would never come for full time. I worked on call, not part time, on call. That means, you know, if they got a position open, somebody called to say, 4 years. 4 years, never missed a payment, never missed a rent, never missed a utility bill, and at the end of that 4 years, the man himself who insulted me to my face and said, you know, you want your wife to work for you. He said to my face, can you work for us, Eric? Can we're gonna hire you full time because we can't do without you. Because God had gave me a vision already, and I could see past that. I could see past that on call status. Just like when I went to apply for that, and they weren't even supposed to be hired, and I had to wait for 6 months. I could see myself at that job because I knew that's what God that God had given me. Even my wife had said, "Are you sure?" I knew because I could see it. That was such a wonderful word, you know, because we could look at people and we could look at things, but do we really see them? You know, or are we just like that blind man? You know what I'm saying? And the blind man that Jesus healed, and he's like, He's like, what can you see now? And that blind man was like, well, I can see people, but they look like trees. You know, are we in that process of seeing? You know, or are we just looking? And then for, you know, so I want God, I want to be able to see, I want to be able to see on the moon. You know, I want to be able to see past this universe. And so I pray that God keeps enhancing my vision. Not just not just my eyes, but my vision. It was just so much. I could probably sit here and talk for 2 hours about that. But I love what you've been doing, the theme that you've been having on these senses, because it's very important that we develop our spiritual senses, you know, as well as our physical senses. And we depend on our physical senses, our eyes, ears, and touch, and taste, but our life depends on us developing those spiritual senses, because that's who we really are. Our core values are what we really are. I don't want to just exist, you know, but I want to make change. I want to make a difference, not for myself, but for God's glory. Thank you.
That was an awesome share, Brother Eric, an awesome share, and it's a powerful thing to have the opportunity to see things turn full circle and watch God get the glory out of your stand. Amen. Anybody else have anything? Anybody?
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, my brother Marcus. How you doing this morning? Thank you for a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful talk this morning. That was good. And I'm saying to everyone on the line, if there's anybody on this line that's looking for work, I guarantee I have two places that you could get hired and making $16 an hour. I love helping my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Marcus, for that you looked at this morning. And God bless you, and keep up the good work. God love you.
Amen. We love you. Thank you, Sister Julia, for that.
And you can have my number, and I guarantee you could get hired on one of these jobs. I guarantee that.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Julia. Anybody else got anything? Has anybody else done the work of actually defining what your core values are to the degree of perhaps writing them down? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody? Amen.
Dion,
well,
can you repeat the question? I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Sure.
It was in the middle of something, and I didn't hear all of it.
I just said, has anybody else done the work of defining what your core values are? Anybody?
Yes, I have. Good morning. Marcus,
good morning.
Oh my God, amazing, amazing share. Like the first few words out of your mouth, I like something stood up inside of me. It was an amazing heart share. I did the work probably 4, 5 years. I think it's been about 4, maybe 5 years ago, and it was important for me to silence all of the noise. I got away from everything, and I was so desperate to hear from God, to know his direction, because I just felt like my life that I lived in reaction mode, you know, just doing things as they came up, not really planning and stuff like that. And there was this uneasiness about where I was in my life and wanting to know, God, is this it? And I think that for me, and hopefully those of you that are on the line won't get to the point where you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired, that you finally say, okay, let me figure out this thing. What am I supposed to be doing? I really hope that you'll take some of the things that we share and that you'll take a moment, take some time to figure out who you are. Because once you find out who you are, I mean, like, it just, there's a freedom that I can't even describe. And so for me, it's important to write. And I just sat before God and asked him literally, what do you want me to do with my life? And it wasn't arrogant at all. And I waited and I listened. Because I was so, you know, in this space, I think if I'm not mistaken, I actually went on a fast as well, because I really wanted to get it. I wanted to make sure it wasn't something that I wanted for myself, you know, something that was self-motivated. I wrote it. I know what those things are: to teach, to write, and to serve. And that is how I live my life now. If it's not related to teaching, writing, or serving, I'm not doing that. That's not who I am. It's because it's important for me to live my life on purpose. So I don't know if that helps anybody. Hopefully it does. But the writing it down, there's a scripture that popped up. Write the vision down and make it plain. For me, when I see something, I don't know how it is for other people. I'm not like a really, I guess I am artsy, but it's, as far as word, I call myself a word artist. So there, because I can create all kinds of things with words. But when I get a vision of something, like, for instance, when we moved into this house, in my mind I could see what I wanted. I could see where furniture would be placed. I could see how I could get the best use out of the kitchen if I organized the dishes a certain way and my pots and pans. And see, I could see it. Like, and it's something that, vision is really, really important for us, that internal eye, being able to see. So it's something that it doesn't consume me, but it, I'm trying to come up with the verbiage to explain when I get a vision to do something. There's something that happens, like, I see it clearly in my head, and I cannot get the thought out of my head. It is very similar when I am going to write a declaration, or I've been asked to preach or something like that. Sometimes what I will see is the title, sometimes first, and I build from there, or sometimes what I see and feel is the actual context, and then the title will come later, or the subject or whatever will come later. It's an amazing thing, and I feel empowered, and I feel special because I know that it's God using me, that it's God that is giving me a data dump. I kind of rambled, but hopefully some of that stuff made sense. So thank you for letting me share.
All of it made sense. That was good and very defining, hopefully, for someone. Anybody else that can declare that you've done the work of defining what your core values are? Anybody? Is anybody unclear on how to do that or why? Okay, well, y'all already know I'm not going to, I ain't going to talk to this rearview mirror for too long.
Well, could you just define that, the why and the how?
Sure. Okay, so for me, I'll be super transparent. I'll use my engagement as an example. Sean was very, very demanding in certain things, and some of them I really, really didn't mind, but some of them were like impeded upon who I was. And so I had to really kind of assess my why I do whatever it is that I do. And for me, say, for instance, I'm extremely relational. I wouldn't be able to live under the guise of a very isolated life. I wouldn't be successful at being Dion, let alone anything else. And so I had to ask myself some questions. Would I be willing to give up this to become that? If not, why or why not? So for me, God first, family second,
relationships and or friendships and fellowship. Third, service and deed. Fourth, and community and activism last. And so those are the things that make the components of me, me, if that makes sense. So those are the things that make me smile or happy or excited or give me reason for living. Does that make sense?
Makes good sense.
Yes.
And you know what I also think about, Dion, is that two people may their core values being more specific may be different. Like, for instance, one mate may need 3 days a week. The other mate may need 7 days a week for them to function in terms of, like, let's say, for example, quality time. And that person that needs three may say, well, 7 days is too much for me. So you got to think about, well, am I willing to give them the 7 days, or is that too much for me? And if so, then this probably won't work. You know, I don't know if that even, because I was thinking about that as well. There are certain things like family, like how you raise children and how you, you know, how you clean house. And, you know, we don't think about those things when we go into a relationship. We just think, oh, she's cute, oh, he's nice, or whatever, and then we jump in. But it's more than that. It's so much more.
Absolutely, Marcus. And those are good benchmarks. And not just with regard to relationships, but just in genuine, even now with work, and I really do have a job. But the difference is that the job aligns with who I am. And it's still sales. And it, you know what I'm saying, it's still technical stuff, but it empowers me to empower people. And what you start to realize when you get to a place where some things you are not willing to compromise, if I can't be authentically me and do my job, I don't want to do it. I'm going to get bored because I'm not able to be who I am. Right? So most people, if you look at even your current employment or career opportunities, most people just kind of take a job because they need some money to pay their bills. Well, I believe God designed us all for a specific destiny. The only way to get to specific destiny is by way of being your authentic self. Well, how do you identify your authentic self? You identify the core things that make you exactly who you are. And so for me, again, I'm really, really accustomed to A-type personality men that are very strong personality, usually not super outgoing publicly. That, you know, and that's okay. But at the same time, you have to be mindful of what your day-to-day interaction is like and, you know, those basic things. But you got to get to a point where you know why you do your what. And so, now mind you, after I sent the email to the young lady about the job, she and we had a conversation about our faith. The young lady that recruited me, and she was like, oh, Dion, I know that's going to be a problem for you. Let me see what I can do. They called me back and told me to disregard the original schedule they had given me, start my week on Tuesday, and my manager would give me a new schedule when I got there. Thank you. I appreciate it, because you was about to have a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's
Somebody's phone is off mute. Anybody else have anything? Anybody?
You know, my sister, I give God in my life first, but I get up every morning and go out there and work and I worked with a smile on my face, and I enjoyed it. I worked 7 days a week going out there helping someone that need help. I'm retired from my other job, but I didn't let the devil sit me down. I get up and pray every morning and get up and get dressed and go out there. And I love doing what I'm doing. I don't let nothing stop me. I might have a pain here and there, but I keep going because I know God got my back. He is first in my life. Does that make any sense?
It sure does, Sister Julia. But that's what life should be about. Our core values should center us transitioning from existence to actually thriving and living and having a fulfilling life. And sometimes it's not about a dollar amount, or it's not about a romantic interest. It's not about who claps for you at the end. It's about literally what, and I'm really, really grateful to God for the process, because if I got nothing else from the process of that courtship, I identified my why. I was able to definitively conclude, this is why I am. Not just why I do what I do, but I live to be this person. And anything that would alter that, yeah, go ahead. Somebody was about to say something or no?
My sister had to say one thing. The way I get paid from God. I don't go out there and make money. I go out there to help. My paycheck come from Lord Jesus.
Amen. He is definitely a provisionary God. No doubt about that. I'm a living testimony of him being provisional. Amen. Well, y'all, we will not beat a dead horse this morning. If you haven't done so, I'd absolutely encourage you to take some time to define what your core belief system is. It'll help you. Maybe uncomfortable, really trying, and you got to be real honest with yourself and in determining and discovering it, but I guarantee you by the time it's over, you'll have something to hinge your hope on. Amen. So with that said, I pray that you go and you grow in love, that you be the Jesus that somebody needs to see. And today is W cubed, I'm sorry, Women Who War. That's at 6 p.m. this evening. And we will meet you back here tomorrow, same bus station, same bat time. I love you, but I promise God loves you the most. Bye,
have
y'all.
Have a blessed day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Awesome, Marcus. Thank you.
God bless y'all.
Everybody have a blessed day. Thank you, Marcus.
Blessed.